Thanks for hanging in there, everybody. Good to have you back. And we always like to make sure people check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Where else, Don?
On Facebook.
For sure.
The Valley Outdoors.
Yeah. Send us some pics. If you got some big fish, we always love to post the big fish stories and anything that comes up with it that was interesting from your perspective that made it special, or just send us some photos. It's awesome works, too. Info at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Story, I had to read three times the title three times before I could figure out what happened. as you know, recently, the Gwyneth Paltrow skiing trial. Don, you probably heard something about that.
Oh, the dumbest
He's
thing.
He's shaking his head.
Yeah,
it's
a thing.
Gwyneth Paltrow skiing down a ski hill, and the gentleman claims that Gwyneth Paltrow ran into him, and it's physically impossible to have that happen. He broke ribs and did something else. Well, he was skiing faster. She's staying on one side of the run, and he runs right in. He has no peripheral vision on his right-hand side and makes a right-hand turn and turns right into her. Right? Pretty simple. But again, accidents happen in a ski resort. That's two people, separate entities, right? So it's really nothing you can, what can you do there? However, this particular situation was a whole different deal, and it was actually kind of spooky. Vail Ski Resort had settled the lawsuit after New Jersey father suffocated to death in a chairlift accident. I had to read it three times because I didn't understand how can you suffocate on a chairlift. Gentleman from Short Hills, New Jersey, a guy's name is Jason Varnish. He was a 48-year-old when he died as a result of unnecessary and preventable tragedy. He said he was a remarkable human being, of course, and his kids, unfortunately, now left without a father. It makes a difficult thing. Here's what happened. The chair lift that Mr. Varnish was preparing to board came into the loading line, which is the area where you stand at the bottom and get ready to sit down and move up the hill. With the seat in the up position against the backrest of the chair. So apparently the wind had blown up the seat. A rubber bumper attached to the chair seat frame, which normally was covered when the seat is in the down position, caught on Mr. Varnish's jacket. Entangled his jacket with the chair began to rise out of the lower terminal, and he was lifted off his feet by the chair. He was in the Blue Sky Basin area, which is one of the back bowls. He was hanging from the chair by his jacket about 70 feet from the start and 10 feet in the air for more than 8 minutes. Unfortunately, his jacket constricted his ability to breathe, and they call it positional asphyxiation. And when you think about that, that's crazy.
Yeah, I just saw a video just recently of a young boy that this happened on the way down. His backpack got entangled in the chair, and he slipped out of it. And he's literally hanging there with the backpack on. And they had a heck of a time. It took two adults to get up in the chair to lift him up, and he was probably a 10 or 12-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a sad deal, but, you know, you look at it, unfortunately, there was a lot of violations that occurred. There's a Colorado Safety Act, Ski Safety Act, and the Colorado Passenger Tramway Safety Board also commented on it. And even though you sign a liability waiver, that particular part of it does not, you have to assume that they're going to be operating all their equipment in a safe manner, and that didn't apply. And of course, they can't talk about what the settlement was, but nonetheless, my guess is it was significant. But just a sad, sad thing to happen, but it just, you have to be aware of what's going on around you. You can't assume that that's going to be a functional thing that's going to happen, and it's just difficult to kind of deal with. But nonetheless, feel sorry for the family. And
it's too bad they can't make those lifts so that they could actually turn them around. It's like the young man that was caught. I don't understand why they didn't just keep coming down until they could get low enough where they could help him.
Yeah.
They stopped it while he was hanging out there, and then they had to get a long ladder to get up to him.
Yeah, they can't reverse it.
No, but they could continue to go down. and get them down to where they load and stop it to help get them off.
Yeah, and that can happen. I know there's been there was a situation a couple of years ago that I was aware of, or a year ago, and somebody was hanging from somebody was hanging on to the person. They had slipped out of the chair. They're hanging on to a kid.
Sure.
And they actually ran out and put pads underneath and caught.
Let them drop.
Yeah. No injuries. All was good. So, freight train derailment. A lot of that going on, Don.
Unfortunately.
Which is, I'm not a conspiracy guy, but it seems a little odd to me that there's so many train
derailments.
Well,
this one I had not heard of. So.
No, neither did I.
It hadn't made the national news yet.
Freight train derails, spilling hundreds of cases of beer into the famed Montana River. Cleanup is underway after 25 rail cars left a track running alongside scenic Montana Trout River. The wrecked cars dumped unopened cases of beer as well as powdered clay into the Clark Fork River, a waterway popular for both local and visiting anglers. And none of the material was going to be considered hazardous waste. Occurred at 9 a.m. on Sunday, April 2nd, within plain view of several guest cabins owned and operated by the nearby Quinn's Hot Springs Resort. While the guest cabins were evacuated, no injuries were reported during the accident, and none of the rail cars caught fire. Some of the derailed train cars, boy, are considered full of beverages, adult beverages. The train was coming out of a 100-year-old tunnel, and biggest issue with the cars derailed inside the tunnel. And 4 p.m., the crews were still rigging a floating boom across the Clark Fork to stop any floating debris and sediment from moving further downstream, including many cases of Coors Light and Blue Moon, both in cans and bottles.
You know why they evacuated the cabins? I just got a theory on that.
They left to go get the beer.
No, they evacuated them, meaning that they weren't there to stock the cabins.
Oh, that's true.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, that would be the case.
Just a theory.
We've been following the story of the train derailment in the lower Clark Fork River. The MTU, it's a Montana newspaper. There's no reports of hazardous chemicals at this point. We have trust that a full investigation will be completed. We know that Montana Fish and Wildlife and Parks are actively engaged. The Fish and Wildlife Parks spokesperson said the agency is involved, but deferred questions about potential impacts of spilling clay into the aquatic ecosystem to the Montana Department of Environmental Quality. We're working on with all parties to do what we can to make sure aquatic habitat's taken care of in the cleanup process. According to the spokesperson, an unconfirmed amount of diesel fuel leaked out of a refrigerated boxcar after the derailment, but they didn't spill directly into the river. Issues we're looking at are making sure the sediment from the powdered clay doesn't get to the river and the cans and bottles of beer in the river and monitoring the diesel spill. There's a photo of an actual trout drift boat pulled up to it with like five cases of beer. And the guy's holding up a bottle of it had to be Blue Moon.
He'll probably get arrested.
Well, why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's got his name. He's got his face. Tell you what, we're going to be right back. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened out in Ohio. It's a story we've been following with the cheaters in the walleye tournament. So stay tuned for that.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Well, Donald, what's going on in your world?
Yeah, well, I'm one of the things I'm going to be working on, hoping to get our Fish With Us promotion put together here real shortly so people can start getting excited about
We're
doing that again this year.
We're going to do that this year. We're going back, I think, aren't we?
Oh, that's kind of the plan. We'll make sure that that's going to work.
Perfect. And it's just fun. We had a good time last year.
We've had great fun the last 2 years.
Every year, yeah.
Last year you caught a really nice pike.
Yeah,
I don't know if
you'd
know,
pike.
But that there's been a reel on Facebook for that, and it's got a lot of views on it.
What?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. The story goes, we were fishing on Cabotogama last year at the Fish With Us promotion, and one of the guests was in my boat. I said, you get a bite? And he said, I do. I don't know quite what it is. Well, set the hook. He sets the hook, and then it was a battle from there on, and it gave him a serious, serious whooping. And got it to the boat. How was it, 40 something?
Over 40 inches. But the interesting part was I just happened to be
right next to us,
right next to you guys when you caught that one. So I clicked the camera and got it rolling and got a little video. And it's on our Facebook page, I believe. So you can check it out. But
that was a nice fish.
A couple of happy people in
there. Oh, yeah. That was a fun fish. We had a lot of fun with that one.
It's a good thing I'd given you my big ruler. Oh, speaking of that.
Sitting in my garage.
It's not in my boat
yet. It's sitting in my garage. I'll hopefully have a trolling motor this year. It would make things a lot easier for me to catch fish. I still caught fish even though I had to do it with... I back-trolled with a 300-horse outboard, 300-horse Merc.
You don't need that trolling motor.
Well, you do because it was a pain in the butt. I'm telling you. I did everything. I had to back-troll up and then drift and try and line up with the wind, and then remember it was windy.
Oh, boy.
That was not a good thing because the battery charger that we had installed was not compatible, apparently, with the other batteries I installed, and it was just a mess. Of course, that was one of those things that happens. Story wanted to get to last week. We were quite able to get to it. The two tournament anglers that that were caught cheating, stuffing fish with lead. If you only knew, Don... All over the country, when I make phone calls, with the job that I'm with Sharo, talking to different people, like, oh, you're from Minnesota. Oh, you're a walleye guy? I didn't realize the fish like to eat lead. Did they really? I didn't know they were hungry. everywhere it's just so funny. And I'm laughing. I said, yeah, well, that's apparently, it wasn't a good thing. And he's like, I know, it just sucks. I said, yeah, it's very unfortunate. And it looks like they're going to have a price to pay for it. The two tournament anglers are facing felony charges of cheating after they were disqualified from the Lake Erie Walleye Trail Championship in September. They pleaded guilty in the Cuyahoga County Common Plea Court on last Monday. And Jacob Runyon and Chase Kaminsky of Pennsylvania and Ohio, consecutively, pleaded guilty to two charges, cheating, a fifth-degree felony, and unlawful ownership of wild animals, a fourth-degree misdemeanor. Prosecutors reportedly dropped the additional felony charges of possession of criminal tools and attempted theft as part of the plea deal reached with the pair. Cuyahoga County prosecutor said the charges of cheating will result in forfeiture of the boat that was used in the tournament, but that was, we were talking about it off-air, that's the one that they also had won
previous year
in a previous year's tournament. That was taken already, and it was a Ranger multi-species boat. And in addition, they recommended that they serve 6 months of probation. They've also agreed up to a 3-year suspension of their fishing licenses. The pair will be sentenced on May 11th, and then they will determine how long their licenses will be suspended. The plea is the first step in teaching these crooks two basic life lessons, O'Malley said in a release. Runyon and Kaminsky were leading both tournaments and the Lake Erie Walleye Trail Team of the Year competition were disqualified from the championship when the tournament director that we've had on our show, Jason, a friend of mine, cut open the five walleyes and entered in the tournament, and they found that they were stuffed with lead weights and fillet from smaller walleyes, and they confiscated the fish as evidence. Cell phone video, of course, everybody's seen it. If they had won the tournament, they would have received $28,000 in prizes. CBS News reported court records also said that they were investigated near Toledo in the spring of 2022. which was a competition that a friend of mine placed second in, and they had video of that event, and it was the exact same thing. Those fish were not the appropriate weight for the length that they were. They were far bigger, and they accused of cheating in other walleye tournaments as well. They concluded that although they may have cheated, there wasn't enough evidence to charge them. In other words, they didn't actually have the fish and proof that that was actually in that one, but they had the video of that particular event. They guess right now, when it's all said and done, they had taken and cheated over $300,000 worth of prize winning. So, quite unfortunate. So what do? You know, part of the
difference. Well, my question is the suspension of for 3 years on a license, is that nationwide or is that just in Ohio?
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yep, anywhere. Cool story that I find it's been a long time coming. Canada pledges funding to improve water quality in the Great Lakes. Canada's pledged significant increase in spending to improve water quality in the Great Lakes following Justin Trudeau's meeting with the president, whose administration has also boosted funding for shared waters. Following the discussion, Trudeau's government would spend $420 million, about $306 million in U.S. dollars over the next decade on lakes, and still suffering from a 20th century industrial pollution and newer challenges with chemicals and microplastics. The announcement came a week after U.S. Congress prodded Biden to support more for the Great Lakes from Canada, and which critics have accused them of doing far too little. In addition to toxic residues in harbors and river mouths, the lakes are ravaged by invasive species such as quagga mussels, loss of nearshore fishing and wildlife habitat, farm and urban runoff that fuels harmful algae blooms. So pretty significant as far as the devastation, but it's also nice to see that they're stepping up from Canada's standpoint with pushing.
Speaking of Canada, though, you know, I do quite a few trips to Canada on an annual basis. I know that they are now pulling the requirement that you have to have had a vaccination to get into Canada. That's no longer required. So I've had several guests that haven't been able to join us over the last few years because they weren't able to get a vaccination. So
nice.
Heads
That's
up.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining us, guys. For Ava, Don, and myself, Eric, we are the Valley Outdoors, and we're out of here. Join us next week. It'll be fun. See ya.